May grace, mercy, and peace be with each of you this morning. It's a privilege to be here, and I look forward to continuing our worship this morning. It's been a blessing to be together, and I feel like my heart is full. And today I look forward to looking into the Word some more and finding truth that can help to direct us towards God, towards holiness, towards what He desires for us. This morning is a special day, and I noticed it on the calendar. Does anybody know what today is? Thank you. You're right, Henry. It's Grandparents Day. All right. I don't necessarily have a message for grandparents, although it does apply. I feel like it applies to all of us, but a special note to the grandpas and grandmas. God bless you. We don't have so many here at Great Lakes, but we're glad for each one that is here and the blessing and the stability that you add to our congregation here. Also, a special thanks to you as a congregation for your prayers. I don't preach real often, but I was really encouraged for the quite a few messages that I got and the support from the Brotherhood. And some of you maybe didn't message, but I'm confident that you've been in prayer, and that's a blessing. I feel welcomed here, and I believe you're hungry this morning for truth from God, and I'm thankful for that. It's a privilege to be part of a brotherhood that wants to do what's right, serve God. So God bless you in that. This morning, the title of the message this morning is Growing in Our Respect for God. And that message, or that title, in a sense, is borrowed. I have some messages that I'm supposed to preach later this fall, and the theme is respect. And I've been studying that a little bit, and I just was looking forward to sharing that subject, Growing in Our Respect for God. The other titles that they gave me to share on, I don't have them all offhand, but I appreciated that the first one was Growing in Our Respect for God. If we don't have a respect for God, if we don't have a proper view of God, how can we respect on other levels? Respect is such an important thing. And our view and our understanding of God is foundational in how we relate to other aspects of respect. The children that are here this morning, not asking for a raise of hand, but at our house, the word respect is used fairly often. Is that respectful? Are you being respectful? Is that what you should be doing? Was that kind? You children hear those kind of things? That's good. It's important. Because respect doesn't come naturally. When your little baby brothers or sisters or children are born, they don't come with respect. They come with a human nature. We all did. We all do. And it's something that we face all the way through life. Being respectful is a challenge. It's something that we need to work on. But as we grow in it, it can become a habit, a good habit. Now, I brought something along this morning. I don't know if you're close enough to see what that is or not. Anybody know what that is? Seen them before? Somebody tell me what it is. $1 bill. Yep, that's what it is. It's a dollar bill. What can you buy with it? You used to be able to buy more than you can now. But it's just a dollar bill. And it's worth, you can buy things with a dollar bill, not so much. What's this? About the same. It's Hamilton on the front. It's got an extra zero on it. But that really doesn't mean much, does it? What is it? Colt. It's a $10 bill. Pretty much the same thing, though, isn't it? If I threw these on the ground and handed these out, which one would you pick? Colt. You'd pick the $10 bill. What if I got this one out? What's this? All right. $100 bill. Suppose I put all three of these out. Now which one would you pick? You'd pick the $100 bill, right? What if I got this one out? Did you ever see one like that? Nope. The writing's too small. It's Grover Cleveland, I think, is who's on the front of it. What is it?
Grover Cleveland.
Yep. And it says $1,000. Now, put all three of these together. Now, which one are you going to pick? Colt. $1,000 bill? That would make sense, wouldn't it? What do the rest of you think? I think we kind of all know which one we'd pick, right? Because this in here isn't really worth a whole lot. Okay? What's the point? They all look about the same, and they're all kind of paper. And all they have is some different writing. I didn't know that. I'm not super educated, but they actually produced $1,000 bills. And they circulated for a while, I guess. But they opted to discontinue them. They're still around, but they're worth a lot of money. So I'd pick the $100 bill. And the reason I'd pick the $100 bill, unless the $1,000 was a good one, then we'd pick that, right? But if it's not, we'd pick the $100 bill because we value it. It has the highest value of all of those, right? It has the highest value. We desire value. The moms, the ladies, and some of the dads go to the grocery store, and we pick out groceries, and we look at the price, and we debate. Is it worth that? Should we put it, is that worth it or isn't it? And all of us this morning debate about the value of different things. If I held up that $1 bill and I don't have a pen in my pocket right now, but and held up a pen, which would you pick? Well, depends how bad you needed a pen, right? Or how fancy the pen was. I definitely wouldn't pick a pen. I've got plenty of them on my desk. The dollar bill would be worth more because it holds more value. It's more valuable to me than the pen is. So why do I say all this morning? Because this is the way we live. And the truth, I believe, is that this concept of value is related deeply to us in our, not only our culture, I think all cultures have value different things maybe, but we also believe, I think, that the way we view God is a little bit like that. Now, I'm not talking about greenbacks and money. But I'm talking about what we're willing to trade in exchange for obedience and a relationship with God. If we held out all three of those real bills and said, which would you trade for a relationship with God, we know better than to even think about that, right? But how many zeros would we need to add until it even became a question? Do we value God as high as we should? I'd like to, this morning, the few things that I have to share, I trust that I appreciate and I love our congregation here. I believe that you are Christians and you want to follow God and you are following God. None of us are perfect. We're on a growth. We're on a journey towards holiness. We want to. That's our goal. And this morning, the things that I share, I don't want you to take as unattainable. We just can't make this. But the truth is, we can. We can grow towards holiness and towards perfection. And I'd just like to encourage you this morning, when you choose to pray for help, when you face a temptation, and you say, God, I need you. I cannot handle this on my own. I need your help. Please help me to be faithful and do the right thing. That is valuing God. That's what I'm talking about. That's valuing God. When you choose not to share a negative comment or story about someone, you are valuing and respecting God's teachings as more important than what you feel like doing. See, God has given us commands and He's given us teaching. And as we value that, and as we practice that, we are valuing, the value of that is increased. It's what we should be doing. When you choose to forgive and forgive again, you're valuing and respecting God's way with higher respect than your own feelings. And there's many ways that we can put our respect into action. So this morning, I hope that this message can be an encouragement to, as we think about God and our relationship with God, that it would give Him a higher priority in our personal lives, and that we would have a deeper respect and appreciation for Him. In our Sunday school lesson, we've been studying about the kings, and I guess I didn't realize how closely this connected with our Sunday school lesson. The trend of these kings in these lessons is, it seems unmistakable. We know the story. They turn their hearts away. When they turned their hearts away from following idols, they were in captivity. This morning's lesson, they went into captivity. But Rodney talked about the 70 years and next Sunday's lesson when Ezra goes back to build the walls. And they turn their hearts away from idols and set their heart on following God. God blesses them. And the resulting blessing and prosperity that they enjoy, they begin to turn their hearts away from pursuing God. They allow idols and heathen practices into their lives. Unintentionally and subconsciously over time, their hearts, which were once set on following God, begin to devalue their respect for God's authority in their lives. What God said was not ultimately most important anymore. And they find themselves back into captivity. And when I was in the little grades at or younger grades at school, we had that, I forget what curriculum it was, it talked about the kings, and over and over and over we see this cycle. But the truth is that cycle hasn't changed. The cycle continues to go around and around. And today we see even within our own lives, we can be challenged to not repeat that same cycle. Let's keep our eyes focused on the truth, and let's not fall into sin and then back to seeking God, but more on a plane towards God, towards faithfulness. Why is this repeated over and over again? The reason is because it's a natural course for man to take. There was a question in our lesson, I don't have my book with me, but it talked about how can we overcome this? And that's what I want to talk about this morning. How can we how can we develop a respect for God that continues toward holiness? And I have a few points that I'd like to look at. Of course, we want to look into the scriptures. Turn to John 14 this morning. I have a list of a few points that may help us to grow in our respect for God. Now, I was sitting here this morning. Actually, I was getting ready. We were getting ready to come to church. And I thought about the beautiful sun was coming up. It looks like it's going to be a really beautiful day. And I thought, you know, there's a couple. I only have a few points, but there's a couple that I missed. And I don't have any notes on this, but I really wanted to share it. How can we grow in our respect to God? And what I thought about, the one thing that I thought about this morning was, we gathered together collectively here this morning, and I appreciate the reverence. We have the men on this side, the ladies on that side. It's quiet. It's attentive. Because we believe that we're here to worship God. And that is also an aspect of respect to God. I appreciate our simple service. I appreciate our repetitious service. You know what to expect. God's a God of order. We come to church, we sit down, we have songs. I really believe that's the way God, as we look into Scripture, we can see God is a God of order. Every morning the sun comes up. We can predict it. We know exactly what minute, or even more than that, it's going to set. Things are organized, and I appreciate that. I appreciate this morning that we come dressed up for church. I know that in this day and age, there's a lot of emphasis put on a personal relationship with God where we don't need a lot of this form. And brothers and sisters, I appreciate the form. I think there's value there, and I appreciate I think it's an aspect, it's a way of showing respect for God and for the Lord's Day. The second thing that I thought about that I didn't write down, I guess it goes hand in hand, is reverence in God's house. Children, do you run at church? I think that's something that I know sometimes children forget. I think all of my children ran at one time or another in church. But that's something I think can help to promote respect and reverence for God's house. It's orderly, and it's quiet. Now, after service, the fellowship is good, and it's not always super quiet, and that's okay. But I think during our worship service, it should be a time of respect. And I appreciate all the children that are here. And you know, overall, I think you children do well at being quiet and sitting still and being reverent at church. And I think that's a good thing, and it's important. It's a way of showing reverence and respect for God. All right, the few points that I do have, John 14. I'd like to read verse 5 through 7. Before I do that, to grow in our respect for God, we need to know God. We need to know God. I'll read this. John 14, 5 to 7. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. From henceforth ye know him and have seen him. To grow in our respect for God, we need to know God. And how do we learn to know God? We learn to know God through Jesus and a relationship with Jesus. And maybe the most important thing this morning is, if we want to have respect for God, we need to know Jesus. And we need to experience the work of Jesus in our hearts and allow that cleansing blood to clean our hearts from sin and to wash us. And it's through Jesus' blood and through that cleansing that we can even know God. And it's imperative this morning that if we want to respect God, we need to know God. And we know God through Jesus. Do we grasp the full meaning of that this morning? Do I appreciate how much Jesus has done for me? I think that also helps in our respect. If we really think about what Jesus has done for us, it helps us to lift him up and value him higher than we do. To know God, we will spend time with God. We talked about trading things of value. We talked about the dollar bills and how the different value that they have. And I guess I was thinking about on the line of if we want to grow in our respect for God, let's not trade the time that we intend to set aside to meet with God with empty material pursuits. Trust me, I know how it is. When you have your personal devotions, it's really easy. It's easy to think that there's more important things. But when we do that, you know what we're saying, not really to God, but what we're actually telling ourselves is that there's other things that are more important than God is. And that's not true. That's not true. God is the most important part of our life, and we need to set time aside to meet with God so that we can know God. Also, respect for God is a choice. It's a commitment to find and know the Word of God. A little story when I was, I don't know if I shared this here before or not, but in Pennsylvania we had neighbors that were Hare Krishna, if I'm saying that right. Sort of like Buddhist, although significantly different. But they had a temple that was just a few miles from our farm. And there was local Hare Krishnas scattered in our little town. And one morning I was going to work, and it was pretty early. It was in the summertime, and the sun was just coming up. And you know how early that is. It's 5-something maybe. But as I was driving down this little back road out in the middle of nowhere, I went past this Hare Krishna's place. And I didn't know the man personally, but he was obviously, you could tell who they were. And he was out in his yard, and he was standing up, and he would stand up, and he would fall down on his face. And he would come back, and he'd get up. He'd lift his hands up and his head up, and then he'd fall down again. And he wasn't showing off, because I don't know if he even knew I saw him. He was out back. And that made an impression on me. Who was he worshiping? He was worshiping their God. But he was committed. And that was a challenge to me in my own relationship with God. Am I that committed? Are you that committed to... Not that we need to do that, but he was seeking God. I really think that was he was doing what he knew. I'm not recommending that. It's not right. But do we pursue the true God with the same urgency and intensity that some of these other people seek their God? May we be faithful. To grow in our respect to God, we need to know God. The next one. To grow in our respect for God, we need to obey God. We need to obey God. We know the Old Testament story, and I'll just flip there real quick. It's in 1 Samuel 15, and I'd like to read verse 22. And we know this story. It's when Samuel... was going to come down and offer a sacrifice for Saul. You remember that story? Saul got tired of waiting. He couldn't wait, and he offered the sacrifice. And then they went to Amalek and the Amalekites, and they did have a victory. But the point, the verse that I would like is verse 22, where Samuel comes up to Saul, and he says, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." To obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. And that's the Old Testament. But that's still, I believe that's God's desire for us today. God desires us to obey. If we truly love God and respect God, we will obey what he says. Now, in studying for this, I listened to a message from Aaron Shank, and I know some of you know him, some of you might not. Aaron is gone now, an old preacher. But it was interesting, the message, it's on the PMC website. It's one of the first ones. It's from 1965, June 6th of 1965. My dad was 15 years old. And Aaron was preaching. And he uses this illustration in his message. He said there was a preacher, and remember the point is we're talking about obedience and the importance of obedience. And I paraphrase from Aaron's illustration. A preacher was once explaining 1 Corinthians 11 to a sister that was having trouble understanding it. We all know what 1 Corinthians 11 is. The preacher did his very best to explain to her and then ask, "Do you understand it now?" "No," she says, I don't." "Okay," he says, and he explains it to her a second time, did the best that he could. And then he looked at her and he said, "Do you understand it now?" "No," she said, "I still don't understand it." So he explained it the third time and said, "Surely you see it now." "No," she said, "I still don't see it." Then the preacher asked her, "Would you be willing to wear the covering even if you did understand it?" And her answer was, "No, I'm not going to wear the covering." And then he made this point. When we have a conviction to obey, it opens the way for understanding. First comes obedience, and then comes the blessing. First comes obedience, then comes the blessing. He goes on. It's an interesting message to listen to. But he talks about young people. He talks about people that are lacking conviction. Sometimes, I don't think I wrote that down, but there was I'm not sure if I can recite or recall that other illustration he gave, but conviction comes after the choice to submit and obey. Today, this generation, there's a lot of, not just this generation, it was when I was young too. If it didn't make sense, it's under question. I don't know if we're going to do this. If I can't figure it out, and it doesn't make sense to me, I'm seriously questioning it. And I tell you, that's not safe. The Bible says, Solomon says, that our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who shall know it? We do not have, inside of us, we do not have the ability to make all the right choices. We need direction, first of all, from the Word of God. And secondly, I think we need it from our brotherhood. So, if we want to respect God, we need to obey God and do His will. I'd like to move to the third point. To grow in our respect for God, we need to submit to God. We need to submit to God. And I'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. This would have been a good chapter to use as a text for this sermon, but in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, it says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Every thought to the obedience of Christ. Everything that I think should be glorifying to God and honoring God. That's a high call, isn't it? That's a tall order. But that's what God desires. We need to submit our thoughts to God. James 4, verse 6 to 8 says, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. If we submit ourselves to God, then we personally choose to resist the devil. Then he will flee from us. And as we draw near to God, reach out to God and pursue him, draw near to him, and he will draw nigh to you. What a blessing. What a wonderful relationship. And that will deepen our respect for God. Submission can be such a trying, especially when things that we are facing seem difficult. And I thought about it as I was studying. I thought about our congregation here. And there's been some tough things in this congregation. I thought about the different loved ones that have passed. Harold and Homer, and some of you have lost parents, children, siblings. Those are difficult times, and it's in those times that it's hard to submit. Do you ever, as you face those difficult times, do you ever find yourself just, why? How? What is the answer? But confidence in God comes when we choose to let go and then choose again to believe that God is in control and submit our way to him. I don't know what you're facing this morning, but maybe there's things in your life even today that are just painful. They're challenging. You wish they would go away or it would be different. I encourage you this morning that there's a blessing and there's peace and there's freedom in just submitting and letting go and let God, it's okay. I trust that you are in control and we can find peace. And as we do that, I think it develops a love in our heart and it does. The Holy Spirit can give us the strength to go through that. And we can find even a deeper respect and love and value for God. Submission, I had one more point there on that part. Submission takes the pressure off our need to perform and transfers it to God's ability to provide. When I'm in control, when I have to dictate things and this can't happen and this has to happen, you become responsible. It's up to you to make it happen. You ever feel that pressure? And that's life. We have to take some of that. But trust God in that, because God can even help us. I think about it in work life. Sometimes things are, you know, are you going to reach around? Can you get done what needs to be done? There's demands. There's requirements. There's things that have to happen. And I think even in that, we can submit to God and ask him to help us. My heart goes out to the moms, the busy moms, that sometimes there isn't enough hours to reach around to everything that needs done. And I encourage you to give it to God and allow him to give you the strength to be faithful and to get done what needs to be done. God desires to be part of our lives. He wants to be right with us. The next one, to grow in our respect for God, we need to share with others. And this is a point that I really need some help in. And I was blessed as I studied it. We need to share God with other people. How well do you do in that? How well do I do in that? In John, 1 John 4, verse 15, it says, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God." We need to be reminded that as Christians, we're commanded by God to share the gospel message, the truth. The times that we do, the times that you share the truth with other people, there's a blessing. There's empowerment and there's strength that comes from that. And I think that's something that we could, there could be more blessings, we could experience more blessings as we are willing to pronounce or share, confess the good news. In Matthew 10, verse 32, It says this, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven." There's a blessing pronounced on all those who are willing to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 10, verse 9, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Thou shalt be saved. 1 John 2, 23, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also." When we acknowledge Christ, we are at one with the Father. Some of you may recognize the name Denny Keniston. When I was a teenager, Denny was not that far away, and he shared a series of meetings, I guess. I wasn't there, but somehow I got a hold of a pack of cassette tapes. And as I was studying, I went back and I looked, and sure enough, those old cassettes are still there. But the series was on soul winning. And I remember, as I looked at that, I thought about that. I remember one thing that Denny Keniston said. He said that just as we sometimes struggle with bad habits, and we do things, you know, we find ourselves doing things that we shouldn't do, and they come naturally, and we really want to conquer that. And what I remember is that he said that as you develop a passion for soul winning and reaching out, he said, you can get hooked. You can get hooked on soul winning. It can become a way of life. It can, and that was encouraging to me. I think I need to get hooked a little more. The habit of reaching out and being God conscious and sharing God with those around us can be a good thing. As we grow in sharing the gospel message more and more, this increases our respect and value, personal value that we place on God. All right, and I will, just one more, I'll just maybe just the last two, I'm just going to read. To grow in our respect for God, we need to serve God. And there's different points there, but we can serve God by serving others, reaching out to the needs around us, being willing to serve. As we do that, we can, I don't know how it is for you, but as you reach out and you endeavor to serve, sometimes it takes you out of your comfort zone, and you develop a, God, I need you. It develops a longing for God's assistance and his connection in your life as you're willing to serve. And the last one that I put down, to grow in our respect for God, we need to love God. We really need to love God. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Love God. Pursue God. You remember the dollar bills and the value? This is a $1. This is a 10. This is more yet. We wish the 1,000 was good. Do you value God? And where does God rate in your life? It's not, excuse the terrible illustration, it's not, there's not even comparison to money. But you know what it does compare with? I think it compares with our interest in eternal things versus our interest in material things. Is your heart after God? Is your heart truly seeking after God? Remember this morning, it's not about condemnation or feeling guilty. It's about pursuing God more and seeking after God more than what you have been, what we have been. God bless you as you continue to do that. May the Lord give us the strength and the courage to resist those temptations and reach out to God for the strength that he has available for you and for me. God bless you. Let's kneel together for prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your principles that you've given to us through your word. Principles of trusting you, principles of relying on you, principles of submission in our hearts so that we can experience freedom and peace. God, you have a beautiful plan for us. It's not about happiness and pleasure. It's about real fulfillment and joy. And that we could be an encouragement to others and a blessing to you. And Father, eventually it's eternal life with you. So help us today. Help each of the brothers and sisters here today to grow in our love for you and our commitment. Lord, it's not something that we can rely on feelings or circumstances, but it's a choice, a personal choice that each one of us need to make. Help us to make that choice, to be true, to do what's right, to go the whole way, to be obedient to you. I ask a special blessing on each one that's here this morning. God, you have different circumstances in each of our lives. Some things are similar, but some are a lot unique. And I just pray that each one of the brothers and sisters and the friends here this morning would be able to find or have the strength to make that choice, to submit to you and allow you to give them the strength that they need to be faithful and to draw closer to you. I just pray that you would go with us as we go from here, and may you add your blessing according to your will. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.